Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Rachel, you always sound so enthusiastic. I thought it was happening to my trouble, so luckily that's right. It's going to be a problem. What? Okay, well, I'll just think about it. All right. Now that that's settled, I hope you can all hear me okay. I'll try to talk very, very loud. It's good to see you all today. I'm very excited to be here, especially to be talking about our topic that we're going to talk about today. So before we get started in that, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for another glorious day we have to worship you. We thank you for the fellowship we have for one another. As we continue to study your word today, Lord, please open our hearts and our minds to what you have to teach us. Thank you for your son. In the heavenly name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to be taking a break from John. I actually only have two more lessons left to do in John. But I feel like what I have to do the next few weeks is a little bit more pressing. Because a few weeks ago I went up to Julie and I said, Julie, I think it would be a really good idea if I preached about the VBS topic so all of you get to learn about what our kids are going to be learning about for the next couple weeks. So Julie, in turn, gave me one of my very favorite topics ever, is I get to talk about creation today. And I love this story. It is by far my favorite story in the Bible. And I'm not going to talk about it the way I would normally talk about it. I'm going to talk about it with an interesting twist, which is our subject matter, camping out in God's creation. But before I do that, I really want to say that we have a great group of people here that have done so much for the children in and out of the community. This is a picture I found on our website. You can see some of our volunteers here. And we need you guys to help out in our VBS program. There's two ways you can do it, and I want you to do both ways. But there are two. First, you can volunteer your time. And that's the most important one. If you are able to volunteer your time in any way, please talk to Regina or Amber and let them know, and they will sign you up. Right, Regina?
Amen.
Amen. The second way you could help out is by volunteering your resources. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin right now for exactly everything they're looking for. And you can sign it up, and you can buy it or bring it, and you can give it to them. And we are happy that you would be able to do that. You guys are blessed by God in everything you do. Why do we do VBS? VBS is such an important thing, but some people I've heard, I've never heard anybody here say that, so I don't want to accuse anybody, but I've heard people say that VBS isn't really that important, and I strongly disagree. I think VBS is very, very important because it is a chance for us to focus on our kids and to show them who God is outside of the standard way of worship. Because let's face it, I know most of your little ones aren't listening to me right now. And that's okay. I still love you guys anyway. Mia, you paying attention? Awesome. Great, Mia. Because worship does come in many forms. Worship isn't limited to right here at this time in this room. And VBS for our children is just another form of worship. It is a way for us to pass down that knowledge to the next generation. We also do it because it helps out the community. It shows the community that, hey, we care about you and your children. We want you to come and be with us, be brothers and sisters with us. But most importantly, we want you to be part of that family that is found in God. And so the number one reason I think we do VBS is to reach the 414 window. Does anybody know what that is? I learned about this week. I did not know until this week. The 414 window refers to the most impressionable group of people. People between ages 4 and 14 years old. And it's during this time that they will choose to put their trust in God
It is during this time that they will most likely choose to become a Christian. And what they learn as a child becomes part of their foundation. And it is so hard to uproot what has been rooted in the heart of a child. And that is some of the reasons we do VBS. And it's the reason that we need people like you to help out. So now that I've done my infomercial, let's talk about the subject. Camping out in God's creation. How many people here like to camp? You see, my hand is not up. I've never been a big fan of camping. I don't understand why you would willingly go out and leave the comfort of air conditioning and electricity and be eaten alive by bugs. It seems so foreign to me. But I have gone camping before. When I've gone camping, I've done it because my friends growing up loved to camp. And so the few times that I have been camping, I went with my friends as a way to connect with them. Because that's essentially what camping is. It's a way to connect. And while I connected with my friends, a lot of you go camping for different reasons. Some of you go camping to connect with nature, but others of you might go camping to connect with God, to appreciate all of creation, what God has done for you. And we know this because of God's very, very first words. He said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, everything was created by God. Isn't that amazing? And it took them how long to do it? 6 days? That's impressive by anybody's standards. That's amazing by anybody's standards. But by God's standards, it's like, I could have done it. It wasn't that hard. That's who God is. God is this all-powerful being that creates everything that we know of and don't even know of, all because He spoke it into existence. And this is where we come to our first part of creation, and coincidentally, my least favorite part of camping. Do you know what my least favorite part of camping is? Getting up early. And do you know why getting up early is my least favorite part? Because I like to sleep in. And the reason you can't sleep in when you camp is because there's absolutely no way to avoid that light. In my room, I can put up light-canceling curtains. I can get rid of my windows if I wanted to. I could sleep till 10, 12 o'clock. But I cannot do that when I camp. But God spoke into existence. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God said, "This is good." Sorry, God, I kind of disagree when I'm camping. I'd much rather have that darkness. But it's the metaphor that we see all throughout the Bible. There's this contrast that light is good and darkness is evil. And it starts right here when God says, "Let there be light." Now, when I think of God creating, I kind of think of, as a cartoon, you kind of watch as a kid and you see like somebody making something and they're maybe waving their hands a lot, or they're getting a lot of potions or ingredients, or maybe they're saying some kind of spell or something. I don't know. And that's kind of like when I was a kid, that's how I pictured God making light. But that's not what the Bible says at all. It says God spoke it into existence. That is God's power. He doesn't need to do any of that other stuff. He speaks and it happens. And for us, this light means a lot. It means that time is passing. It means that things are moving forward. But God created this light as the very, very first thing, because it is the very first thing that is required for all life. Notice here that there is no light source. And many people have speculated that is because God is the light source. But I think it might be because of a different reason. I'm going to talk about that in a second. So God says, the light is good, and He says, there was evening, and there was morning. And then we move on to day two, air and water. the sources, the other sources of life. And God said, let there be an expansion in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. Now you guys, one of the things about camping, the other thing I really don't like about camping, is because it's all about fresh air. I'm just okay with my air, right? I'm okay with the air I find in my house. But a lot of people, they like that fresh air. But that fresh air is good because it's not tainted in any way. It's exactly the way God intended it to be. It's just like earth and all of creation, it's perfect because it was exactly the way God intended it to be. So when does it become a problem? When we taint it. Or when sin takes our lives. So we go camping to get away from that taintness, but to appreciate God's creation. Because we need air and water to survive, right? You can't have life without air and water and light. But God goes on to talk about a little bit more than that. He talks about this separation, which he briefly mentions in the first part, light and darkness. But again, we see here, water from heaven. This is God telling us something that, unless you knew a little bit about the culture, you wouldn't initially pick up on. Because while there are many creation stories, ours is certainly not the first. Or sorry, let me rephrase that. Not the oldest. And so when Moses or whoever wrote this story, they take this particular way of writing it, and they wanted them to understand that this is God being greater than all the false gods around them. This is God being greater than Tiamat, the water god. He's more powerful than that because he created their supposed domain. And God says, there was evening and there was morning. It's another interesting fact. He doesn't call this part good. I don't think it's because it's not good, but he just doesn't label it that way. And we move on to day three, land, or our firm foundation. And God says, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. So here we see God moves on from more of the abstract parts of creation, the parts that aren't really firm, to the more firm. So he creates this part of creation, the land, basically out of the first three parts. And he says, this is called land. And at this point, this is where God stops naming things. He now allows everything after this to be named by man. But at this point, he calls this thing land, and he calls this land good. And he did this because he understands that we, as creation, part of his creation that he's about to create, are going to need this part of the land, this part of his creation, to survive. And we're going to, like all good campers, make the most of it. And he called it good, and he said there was evening and there was morning. And then we move on to day four, God's torch. Because every good camper needs a flashlight, right? Especially a good flashlight. This is probably why I'm not a good camper, because yesterday I discovered I have no good flashlights. I found three flashlights, none without batteries, and I found this flashlight on a fly swatter I had, and I found my cell phone. None of those are good flashlights. But God gives great flashlights. He said, and God made the two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth. And they are going to be used there to track our movements, to rule our lives, to show that when it's time to plant, when it's time to harvest, when it's time to go to sleep, when it's time to wake up. But they are more than that. Or as David describes in the Psalms, they are God's fingerprints. I remember when I was a kid, I watched this movie, and for the life of me, I can't think of what movie it was, but this kid who must have been about Thomas's age, he looked up and he said, look, there's God's thumbnail. And he goes, and the older kid says, That's not God's thumbnail. That's the moon. And he goes, there is no... Oh, I remember what movie it was. It's the one about the angels in the outfield. Because the guy says after that, how do you who see angels don't believe in God? How do you know that's not God's thumbnail? And the kid is right, because it is just part of God's fingerprints. Painted all over creation. Interesting thing here, is there's now a verb change in day four. We go from God created to God made. God made the two great lights. So this might imply that these lights were there in the beginning, but God now formed them. But what we definitely know, this is a direct rebuttal against those false gods. The great sun god Ra and the great moon god Pa. Or at least they thought they were great. But in reality, they're not. Because we know that it is God alone who created these beings, these bodies. And he called them good. And he said it was evening and it was morning. And we move on to birds and fish, masters of their domain. And he said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the heavens. Because, you know, going camping normally involves some form of hunting. I mean, maybe you don't hunt birds. Is there any birds that you eat? I couldn't think of any.
Duck.
Duck? Oh, that's a good example. I don't know why I didn't think of duck. Okay. See, this is why I'm a bad hunter. I don't even know what you could hunt. But you know, fishing is essentially hunting. You're trying to get fish. And so God gives you these things that are masters of your domain for your pleasure. But he also calls these individual things blessed. And because they were blessed, he gives them the same blessing that he gives us. To be fruitful and multiply. But what we understand is that God still here is masters over them, including the great ones. One of the things I didn't mention here in the scripture, but it does say in Genesis chapter 1, is God created the great sea beast. Now, one of the interesting things about those mythological stories is I don't really know what sea beast he's referring to. Some people think it might be a leviathan. Others think it might be a crocodile. But I do know in one of those mythological stories that Baal was afraid of the great sea beast. And so I think this is kind of like the writer's way of snubbing Baal, that God created the great sea beast that Baal is afraid of. And he called these things good. And he called these things blessed. And he said, there is evening and there is morning. And then he moves on to humans and animals. And he said, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth and according to their kind. And it was so. And then he said, here are the stewards. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, and over the birds in the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all things on earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. These are the people, these are the things that I created that is going to take care of my creation. Because every good camper knows that part of their job is to take care of God's creation. To appreciate what it is that He has given you. That you don't waste His resources willy-nilly. But that you are in charge of them, and that commands a certain amount of respect and love. And he called these things good. And he said, there was evening and there was morning. And then he moves on to probably the best part out of all of the day. The reason I would go camping. This is definitely the reason I would go camping, is because camping is a great time to rest. You don't go camping because it stresses you out. Right now, anybody would ever go camping, ever. You go camping because you need a break. And God said, and on the seventh day, God finished his work, and he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he's done. God doesn't necessarily need a break. We know that God doesn't need a break because God doesn't get tired. But what we see here is that God rests, not because he's tired, but because he's signifying the end of creation. It's all done. God has created the world. Now this does become a continuous process, but God's process in the world of this creation is now complete. And he's going to let it play out according to the way that he created it. And this is so important that he called this holy. And it is so important that he made sure that we respect it as holy. He put it in one of his 10 laws. Respect the Sabbath because it is holy. Now this is different from chapter 2 because we have, we're lucky enough that we have two creation stories. The first six, the first creation story focuses on the creation of the world, where the second creation story mostly focuses on what's happening inside the garden. But God wants them to understand at this point, before he starts to talk about that other one, that this day is holy. God's nature is God's artwork. As David said, he's constantly painting, and he's constantly putting his fingerprints on everything. Is this story science? I don't think so. I don't even think it has to be. There is some theory that it could be science. It could be that these things happen in this order because it's the way that life, the things that are necessary for life to occur in this order. But I do know that this story is meant to be art because it is poetry. It's told like poetry. We see day 1, 2, 3 matches day 4, 5, 6. ABC, ABC. Light, sun, moon, stars, sky and sea, birds and air, land, animal and humans. This is the way God chose to give us this story. Not to look for a scientific explanation for how the world was created, but to appreciate what he did for us. And he did this by calling these days good. He says it how many times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he calls it good. And one time he calls it very good. Because it is his creation. And anything God does is done in and for his goodness. It's not only started by God, but it's also completed by God. And because the universe is still expanding, we see that God's work is still continuing. You know, the interesting thing about this story is day 7 doesn't say what the other 6 days say. Day 7 does not say it was evening and morning. I didn't realize that. I don't know how many times I've read this story, and until this week, I had never realized that point. But when I saw that, I thought about those words that Jesus said in John chapter 5, when he's confronted about his disciples working on the Sabbath. Jesus said, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Implying that the work gone on during day 7 is still continuous. Because that is who God is. And that creation, those things that signify a day, those times, yes, God can certainly complete all that work in a single day. It's not beyond his reality, but it's for our benefit to show that there is evening and morning, not to signify the end of the day, but to signify the end of the work. Camping is something I think you either love it or you hate it. Or maybe there's in between. I'm not a big fan. But I do appreciate the creation God has given us. And that is a great reason to go camping because his fingerprints are everywhere. His power is everywhere. His majesty is everywhere. And this is a great place to go and appreciate where God is giving you. Everything that God has given you. And maybe you might not like the physical aspect of it, but you as a Christian, as a believer, can certainly appreciate what God has done for you. And I hope you do. Because he doesn't just show this inside his creation. He shows this in every aspect of your life. And maybe you don't see it because you never really open your eyes to it. Or maybe you don't see it because you've been distracted by everything else that is happening in your life. But I want you to know that God is constantly reaching out to you. From the beginning when He created the world, He's been constantly reaching out to you. Before you were in your mother's womb, He was constantly reaching out to you to know who you, so you will know who He is. And if you don't know who He is, or if you are failing to find Him in your walk, please let us help you. If there's anything you need, please respond to this invitation as we sing the song.